Hello and welcome to Gotta Classify 'Em All, a new podcast where childhood memories meet science. Each episode, we will talk about a Pokemon and the science that may have inspired it. In this episode, we discuss the 11th Pokemon, Metapod. I'm your co-host and Pokemon trainer in training, Margaret, and joining me is our 2000 regional Pokemon tournament winner, Camden. Welcome to the show. So before we get into all of the nitty gritty Pokemon things that I'm so excited for, and
I told you about nitty gritty number 38.
I don't know. I've seen these things in passing. I am so excited because we have this episode that you're listening to now. Thank you so much. And then normally we have our even episodes that are only available for our Patreon, our wonderful Patreon subscribers.
Locked down. Tight.
Behind that Patreon paywall. But this time, we've decided to be extra generous, extra giving, and other synonyms because the next episode we will be featuring a very special guest who is going to tell us all about their love of Pokemon, their experience with Pokemon, and they're going to help us describe and delve into that special Pokemon. I don't know what that Pokemon is yet as the Pokemon trainer in training, but Kim, are you excited for that?
It's not nitty gritty.
But I think
it's a pretty good one.
The guest has told me that this is their favorite Pokemon. That's why we're bringing them on. But we wanted to let everybody hear that episode.
Get hyped.
But after that, we're going back to even episodes are going to be behind that paywall. So Camden, let's say that I am not yet a Patreon subscriber. How would I become one and hear all of the amazing, episodes that I haven't been able to yet?
Well, if you want our even numbered episodes after next week, you're going to have to go to patreon.com/don'tpeeonyourleg, which is the name of our main podcast, contribute, become a monthly Patreon patron, and you'll get access to all of our Bonoco or bonus content, as I have now shortened it to.
And we really, really appreciate those of you who are Patreon supporters. Really, it makes us feel so warm and fuzzy inside, and we really appreciate and love you. So we're excited for that next episode. We hope you're excited too. Now, Camden.
Yes.
Tell me about this week's Pokemon.
Metapod. Margaret.
Yeah.
The meta. What is that?
It's like self-referential.
Yeah.
When like something people within say like, something.
Yeah. So I was looking up because I always like to do the etymology or entomology this time. I'll cut this down because we laughed for like a long time.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So,
caught my breath.
Yeah. Meta is Greek for behind or after.
Okay.
Which I kind of thought it was like above. Because I was thinking like when someone's like, let's get meta.
But, let's get behind or after.
Let's get after this thought. So there's that. And then pod is Greek for foot. So think like a podiatrist.
Yes. Or the pods like in Love is Blind 2. Recently released on Netflix, where you go and you talk to someone you've never met, and then the idea is you get engaged in like a week after talking to them but never seeing their face.
That one's a little more of a recent etymology. Yeah. So, you know, afterfoot.
Does that clarify anything for me?
I actually think metapod's a portmanteau. I think it is a portmanteau. a portmanteau for metamorphosis.
Oh,
and I think it's also a pod, like a, well, you'll see.
Okay. Like a seed pod. Maybe.
I don't know. Well, Margaret.
Yes.
I'm going to give you that hint. Yep. I think it's a metamorphosis portmanteau.
Okay.
With that.
I feel like I know where we're going.
Being armed with metapod.
I feel like I know where we're heading.
is this thing? What is this Pokemon?
This is a cocoon-like Pokemon because you've got your Caterpillar, which we had last time, mm-hmm. Caterpie. Mm-hmm. And if there are three evolutions, I feel like there's going to be Caterpie. And then if this one's all about metamorphosis, then it's probably the cocoon. And then the third one is probably a butterfly or a moth is what I'm guessing.
Okay.
So I think, you want me to describe what it looks like?
Yeah.
Oh boy. It's so, okay. Why? This is really hard to wrap my head around because when a caterpillar is in their cocoon, they're not supposed to be doing anything. Their whole goal is that they've saved up energy and they're using that energy to transform, to metamorphize into a butterfly or a moth. So the idea that you would be fighting while in your cocoon-like state is kind of unrealistic. And I know that's shocking to hear on a podcast about Pokemon.
And like another thing is like, I mean, not to spoil anything, there will be bird Pokemon later.
Okay.
And it's not like there's a middle where they're an egg, like a...
There's not a fighting egg one.
This is a bad analogy. I'm remembering a lot of Pokemon right now. Really falls apart when they don't all stick to biology. But there's like, there's not a nest Pokemon.
So I just...
Like it's also, to me, like, it's like inanimate.
Yeah.
It has something inside, like cocoons have a thing inside it.
Yeah, but how can a cocoon like inflict damage or fight? Because the whole thing is that they're inside it. Does this cocoon have eyes? Like, does it have...
Oh, Margaret.
Oh.
I just revealed it.
What is going on? Okay, so what I'm looking at is actually kind of like...
When you said, does it have eyes? I was like, I can't.
It has one sleepy eye.
I think it has two.
Well, okay,
I think we're
sure.
not seeing this
sure.
angle.
Sure. So what I'm looking at right now, just to describe to our viewers, is kind of like a foot facing away from you, cut off at the ankle. That's God. What it looks like.
You couldn't think of any other
analogy. Or like, kind of like the shape of the bigger Little Dipper.
Cocoon.
It's not really the shape of a cocoon, though.
It's curved.
Because it's got this, like, it's got its main body, like the long part. And then at the top is this wide sort of U shape
like
that sticks up. Yeah, like two horns. It kind of looks like a Viking boat. Why would the cocoon itself have eyes?
That's why I was like, it doesn't. We can't get too deep. Well, you know.
Because that would mean that, like, the thing inside the cocoon, like, only its eye is out, which is horrifying.
The eyes poke out.
Yeah, that's,
Yeah, it's Caterpie's eyes.
I really am interested to know how this thing moves and fights, because it is...
Well,
okay,
let's talk about it.
Tell me about it. What can Metapod do?
First off, this one is known as the what Pokemon?
Saddest.
So you'll remember, like... Charizard was called the lizard Pokemon, even though they're, because they use dragon Pokemon on something else.
Okay.
So it's always the blank Pokemon and it's unique. It got like the blank Pokemon.
Every Pokemon has.
As a category.
Okay.
Apparently I learned this for the first time, everyone. This is Pokemon. So I used the Wayback Machine.
Oh, wow.
This week. I realized I should have been doing that for a while. So I could go back to when I was a kid going to the Pokemon website and see what these like facts they used to tell us were.
Okay.
And like what everything was called and old pictures of it.
Okay.
Went down the rabbit hole, but the category used to be called the species, which is very interesting.
Very interesting.
From a biological standpoint, because species, you know, obviously is a thing. So I thought that was interesting, but this one is called the cocoon Pokemon, which isn't
that
surprising.
Makes sense.
What type are they? This is a more general, like all of them fit into some type.
There's bug type Pokemon,
it is
right?
A bug
okay,
type.
So it's a bug
very
type
good.
Pokemon.
This guy's wearing a hoodie into your store, and you're like, welcome to welcome to my selling my wares. Mm-hmm. And they don't make eye contact with you. Mm-hmm. And it has little sunglasses on. You're like,
sorry, who is this?
Metapod.
Okay.
Has a hoodie, some sunglasses.
This is what you're imagining?
Yeah.
In your mind's eye? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, no, nothing. And You're like, this guy's, it's like, I gotta have a profile on him.
Uh-huh.
Just in case he tries any sneaky business. Uh-huh. How tall is he?
That was all leading to height.
Also, I'm not a proponent of profiling people. So yeah.
But Pokemon.
Maybe.
Anything large is really too horrifying to contemplate. So I'm going to say 8 inches long.
Yep. 2 feet, 4 inches right there.
No.
That's a.
Oh, no. That's okay. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, and no. Then
you go to pick him up.
No, I don't.
You do.
Oh.
And you're like, come on, buddy. You got to leave. And you pick him up.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wow, this weighs about
80 pounds.
22 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
22-pounder we got right there.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Or 88 quarter pounders.
Okay.
If you need.
Thank you.
An analogy.
Thanks.
So strengths. Boy, if this thing was fighting another Pokemon, it'd be good against what kinds?
Oh, there's no way to tell. fire?
Nope. Bad against fire.
Oh, bad against fire.
Oh, so bad.
Birds.
Birds.
Water.
You know, it doesn't have. Oh, flying type is bad against.
Okay, so I'm wrong on that too.
I mean, it makes sense. Birds would be good. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not against a 2 foot. Okay. water? It's good against water?
That's just neutral.
Tell me.
Strong against fighting type.
This is nonsense. I don't know why I started this podcast. This is absolute nonsense.
It's good against ground type and grass type.
So whatever a Pokemon is what it's good against?
Usually not. It's usually not great. It's usually kind of neutral against the thing it is. Like water type aren't good against other water type. They're like, but it's also bad against rocks.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's
that. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And poison.
Isn't everything bad at poison?
Oh. So it evolved from what?
Caterpie.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Caterpie is inside it. No, you looked away. You didn't mean my eyes.
I guess so. I don't remember. They all evolve. This one is metamorphosizing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, none of them were evolving. Let's in the true, biological sense.
Were you about to say biblical
event? And I think remember last time I talked about how soon they evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Like it evolves to Metapod at level 7.
Okay,
which is very. Low, like it's a low. Usually,
easy
it's
to get
like
to.
In the teens or twenties.
Okay,
easy to get to, and then at level 10, so 3 short levels later, this is a very quick evolution to get to the third.
Mm-hmm.
Evolves into next episode's
mm-hmm.
Butterfree.
You're giving me a spoiler?
No, I always tell you what their names are.
Oh, okay.
You just usually forget.
Okay. Okay.
Pokedex.
Tell me.
Metapod. This Pokemon is vulnerable to attack while its shell is soft, exposing its weak and tender body.
Ew.
Hardens its shell to protect itself.
Ugh.
However, a large impact may cause it to pop out of its shell.
Wait.
That was challenging to read.
Yeah. Wait, is there more? Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. It may cause it to pop out of its shell?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like on the inside?
I don't know.
Camden?
I don't know. I'm scared.
I picture that.
Exposing its weak and tender body.
Remember when, what is, oh gosh. In Harry Potter, when he sees Voldemort as like that little baby, that little weak, frail baby. Uh-huh. Is that what's inside Metapod?
Yeah, probably.
What a nightmare. What nightmare fuel.
Also, is vulnerable to attack while its shell is soft. Soft? I assumed it'd be like.
So
solid.
So is there a phase of Metapod where it has like a soft shell phase and a hard shell phase?
Like a crab?
Uh-huh.
Why is it called shells?
I don't know.
Why do the Pokédex call it shells?
Okay.
It has, well, I will say it has a very easy set of attacks.
I would imagine.
It can't attack.
Yep, great.
That's our first Pokémon, Margaret, that cannot attack.
Okay. What does it do?
What do you think it does?
Defends itself? Uh-huh.
Through what move?
Rolling.
Roll away, Metapod, quick. Why are we in this battle?
Or camouflage.
Harden.
Okay. So that is a move. Mm-hmm. So normally it's soft. And then sometimes it can be like... and then it gets tougher. Okay. It
tenses up.
Great. Yep. I'm just going to say yes now.
So this makes it sense. It just gets harder and harder, mm-hmm. meaning the more you attack it, the worse your attacks do against it.
Great.
Which makes Metapod, I remember from the game, when there were grass areas, mm-hmm. like in the second stage where you would walk through the grass. So in the game, the video game, the mm-hmm. original, mm-hmm. if you were walking on the street, you could run into a Pokemon, but it was very unlikely.
Okay.
But once you started walking into different terrains, like swimming in the water, or going by the water, or going through grass or the forest, that's when you're likely to find the type of Pokemon that live in that area,
right.
or in like a cave,
yes.
to find rock type. Mm-hmm. So when you walk through the grass, I hated it because every foot it would do the like, and you're like, oh God, is it? Oh, it's a Metapod. It's another Metapod.
Because no one wants Metapod.
No one wants them. And they kept being like, I'm here to fight you, because they'd show up and be like, let's fight. And you'd try to like make it go away. You try mm-hmm. to make them faint.
Right. Not die.
Faint.
Lord knows. Faint.
And yeah, it would just take forever because they'd get harder and harder mm-hmm. to hit. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You know, some fun facts about Metapod mm-hmm. before we jump into it.
Please.
So I told you, I mean, I guess I already got in there. It was super annoying
yep.
to go through the game with them. Mm-hmm. So I went on the Wayback Machine. And I saw another quote about it. It says, while this shell is said to be... This shell? While it... While this shell is said to be hard as steel, a sudden powerful impact could cause its liquid innards to pop out, leaving it completely exposed. So I did the research for this episode a week ago and forgot that nugget. It's liquid innards.
That's not how any of this works.
Isn't it?
No.
Are we sure?
There's inside a cocoon in real life, and I'm not, I know
is
I shouldn't.
Soup.
No, it's like not
a
liquid.
Soupy insect inside a little shell.
Okay. Wonderful.
Also, it says it's liquid innards to pop out, leaving it completely exposed. I think it's dead.
I don't know if it's exposed when its innards are out.
Yeah.
It's not like, doing well.
Oh, no. I'm trying not to be gross. Like, oh, no, I've been exposed. So, like, sir, you have thrown up. Please leave.
Wow. I can't wait to Google image search Metapod shell inside.
Here's what it looks like from the back. This is a screenshot from the Wayback Machine.
Okay. So now I'm looking at what looks like...
sort of top down.
A little face... I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a green banana mm-hmm. with two very disappointed eyes and
or mad eyes.
Tiny little almost wing-like diamonds on the side. Mm. What? Okay. What a disappointing Pokemon. We've gone from Charizard to this little number.
Yep.
My heavens.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, with that, we are now going to spend 20 minutes, the allotted time we have, to research and find biological, scientific things that may have inspired this incredibly powerful Pokemon. And we're going to report back on what we find. So stay tuned. You all don't actually have to wait 20 minutes. You'll just hear it in a moment. So.
Like,
just know
like
that time
always.
Has passed.
Yes.
Know that time has passed.
I guess we've never clarified that time has passed. All right.
Well, welcome back, Camden. How are your 20 minutes?
Oh, All 20 of them were great.
Wonderful. So we are going to spin the Wheel of Names from wheelofnames.com, not a sponsor, but open to it, to determine who gets to share what they found first. So here we go. Clicking to spin. It's spinning. It takes a little bit here.
Oh, heck yeah. Let's
it's
go.
Camden. All okay, right. Go ahead.
I could read it in your eyes. Margaret.
Yes.
I researched metamorphosis.
Okay.
My citations are from Monarch Watch, Hillis Principles of Biology, Edition 2, and Scientific American.
And I assume another source of yours was The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka.
And yes, Ovid's.
Where he become?
Ovid's. Metamorphosis, too.
Oh, yes. Nice. Okay, good. Yep. You read both of those.
I
wonderful.
I did read those in 20 minutes. In fact, I have nothing else to share. It was a lot.
Yeah.
As a reminder, Margaret, what are our stages of butterfly development? We talked about this with Caterpie.
Yes.
Got four of them.
Little egg.
Egg.
Then you're a little caterpillar.
Little pilly.
Then you're a chrysalis.
Mm-hmm. Or pupa.
Or pupa.
Well, I'm going to talk about that.
And then, how many is that?
That's three.
Oh, boy, there are five?
Four.
Four. Okay, and then you're a moth or butterfly.
Yes.
Okay.
So caterpillars also go through five stages of growth. Each one of those is called an instar. As a caterpillar grows, it molts five different times. So each one of those is an instar.
Mm. Yes.
So just okay. As a review. Now, what makes the butterfly or this organism realize, oh, time to pupate?
When its clothes get too tight.
Yes. So there is a hormone called the juvenile hormone that is released in the brain or near the brain of the caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
And it just produces a bunch of it and just it's sort of slowly decreasing. And when that juvenile hormone level is very low, it's like, I'm an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts wrapping a silk cocoon,
mm-hmm.
As either a moth larva or butterfly larva starts wrapping a silk cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it kind of knows, quote unquote, doesn't know. It just does it.
Does it. Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was kind of cool. It's just sort of timed that way.
Yeah, when the tank of juvenile hormone is out.
Empty. It's time to
be an adult.
Time to pupate.
Mm-hmm.
So during pupation, the caterpillar, the larva, spins a cocoon. And so the pupa is inside the cocoon.
Yes.
Okay. It can be called a cocoon if it is a
butterfly.
See, I didn't know this.
Okay,
I didn't know this till just now. Cocoon for a moth.
Oh.
And a chrysalis for a butterfly.
So it would be a chrysalis.
Oh.
Because you told me it's butterfree.
Oh, butterfree from being a butterfly. It's a moth. Just kidding. I have no idea.
Gosh, okay.
So I thought that was... So the pupa is inside, and that's a common word we use.
Mm-hmm.
But can be colloquially,
mm-hmm, you got there,
colloquially called a cocoon for a moth, or specifically a chrysalis if it is a butterfly.
Okay.
I don't think you are wrong to call it a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone should be shamed, but,
yeah.
Just thought that was kind
of
helpful.
I don't think you'd make a lot of friends by being like, excuse me.
You do like an over-exaggerate cocoon. Where?
All I see is a chrysalis.
Yeah, that's a great way to lose friends if you ever had any to start with, if you're that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, Margaret, what happens once that caterpillar is wrapped up in that silky blanket?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read from Scientific American.
Thank you.
First.
Why are you smiling like
the
this?
The caterpillar digests itself.
Oh.
Releasing enzymes to dissolve all of its tissues.
Oh.
If you were to cut open a cocoon or chrysalis at just the right time.
No, I know what you're going to say. Liquidy.
Caterpillar soup would ooze out. Margaret.
So Pokemon was
Margaret.
Right. It was right.
I believe our original Pokemon Pokedex said, while this shell is said to be hard to see, steal, a sudden powerful impact could cause its liquid innards to pop out.
And then it would be exposed.
Exposing itself to the outside world.
I hope that if I ever have to hear caterpillar soup again, it will be years not for many years from now.
Maybe this is the first time in your life anyone said caterpillar soup. Hashtag caterpillar soup.
No.
That's how you know you. That's how we'll know you listen to this episode. But biologically speaking, it would be incorrect to call this like a mess. Like a, oh, it's just sort of all hanging out with no purpose. It's just sort of
What, the soup
the
or soup,
the caterpillar soup?
Okay.
It is these cells. So it's dissolved not into like an inorganic liquid. It is cells, like loose cells.
Okay.
But they are highly specialized, similar to when we are very, very little in as an embryo, when we are just like a series of cells, not even having fully formed tissues or organ of any kind.
Just a loose bunch of
special cells. I get a t-shirt of that. But they're specialized and they all have an ultimate set, a plan to become with a specific set of activated genes, a tissue or an organ, wherever they're supposed to be, the antenna, the wing, wherever it's supposed to be. So that's really cool. So it's a caterpillar soup.
With a purpose.
With a purpose. And I think what's really cool too is that, so I thought, well, that's kind of weird. These specialized, so like the caterpillar starts all over again.
Yeah, it seems like a waste of energy
to be like a little pillar and then
become soup.
Apparently, these specialized cells are with the caterpillar all of its life.
Interesting.
So some caterpillars even start developing those specialized cells, usually are just like inactive until it becomes a cocoon. Some, though, will actually get to like be slowly developing. Some caterpillars have slight little wing buds.
Like in A Bug's Life.
Is that a thing?
There's that caterpillar in A Bug's Life that I think at the end becomes, you know, he goes into his little chrysalis. And then at the end, he comes out of his chrysalis, and the joke is he is still mostly caterpillar, and he has two tiny, tiny wings. Let me see if I keep talking.
I mean,
find
a little.
A picture of him.
So I didn't find, I didn't have enough time to go like digging for like, but I thought that was really cool. And so basically, it's not that they're completely hitting like a hard reset when they're in the cocoon. Yes, a lot of those cells like go into action. The caterpillar itself that we know is dissolved into cells and like reforms into a butterfly. But those cells are still active or are still there kind of waiting.
Waiting in the wings. Thank you.
So I thought that was really cool. And then I was just interested in how long caterpillars and moths typically stay in a chrysalis or cocoon. Basically, it's anywhere between 5 and 30 days.
Oh, five days.
Depending on the chrysalis and also like the environment, temperature, and all that stuff. The monarch is usually 8 to 12 days. Monarch butterfly, a viceroy, 12 to 16 days.
Okay.
A painted lady, 7 to 10 days. And a swallowtail, which we talked about because they resembled caterpie.
Oh, yes.
About 7 to 10 days as well. And there are some longer that last several weeks. But yeah.
Wow.
Crystallization, metamorphosis.
Oh, caterpillar soup is going to stick with me, and I wish it didn't. But thank you, Camden.
Maybe those were the animal crackers Shirley Temple was talking about all along in her soup.
All right. So my sources for this one are my brain. Wikipedia, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So
all three good.
All three great. When you were talking about metapod's soft shell, it reminded me that for a long time, when I would see soft shell crab on the menu, I thought that is a different species of crab.
That just has that a just softer shell.
Has a softer shell. Kind of like there are soft shell turtles.
Turtles.
Right? Yes. And I figured that some of the folks that listen to this might have thought that or think that as well. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about soft shell crabs, what they are, and why they are.
I gotta say, this is probably the furthest away from the organism of, not against the rules of the podcast.
It's not. Just,
I like where this one's taking us.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah. So let's first talk about how crabs grow. Camden, can they stretch like we can and grow like just your whole body growing together, growing more skin as you age?
To kind of try to keep them all together. Keep all of these pieces together. Mm-hmm. Insects like a caterpillar or a moth and a crab are both arthropods.
That's right.
And their they have exoskeletons.
That's right.
Which means exo, outside. Their skeleton's on the outside of them.
And what's it called when we have a skeleton on the inside?
Me.
Endoskeletons. Endoskeletons.
Me skeleton.
Because after all, Camden, we're all just skeletons on the inside. Anyway, so like you said, they have exoskeletons, and this is true of animals that are related to crabs and other insects, or crabs and insects. So they don't stretch, they don't grow like we do.
But like our skeleton too doesn't grow.
Our skeleton,
well,
it does, but we don't have to shed our skin to grow, because some animals do that.
Right.
Some animals do that have a skeleton inside them. Snakes shed, for example. But crabs do something called molting. This is true of crabs. This is true of like tarantulas.
Caterpillars.
So it's almost like they get, I would often at the aquarium, I would talk about it being like with kids, you know how 2 years ago you couldn't wear the same coat 2 years ago that you would now. You've had to get a newer coat that fits you because you're growing.
You're now a third instar.
Yes, yes. And so I talk about it like that, like getting new clothes because we're growing. Just like we do, we grow a lot when we're little and then it slows down as we get older. So crabs molt a lot when they're younger and it slows down as they get older. So when it's time to molt, this incredible process happens. The crab first absorbs some of the calcium carbonate from its old shell.
Cool.
To start the party off. And then I didn't know this. It emits this protein that allows the crab to kind of pull away from its own body from the inside.
Woof.
I can't imagine how that feels.
Ouchies.
Probably not weird for a crab because that's what they do.
That's what a crab does.
That's what they do. So as it separates, there's this new, like, very paper thin shell that's forming as this enzyme is allowing the crab to pull away. So this can take months, or it can take a month, I believe, for that to happen before everything's ready to go. But once it's ready to go, the crab fills herself with seawater and kind of like puffs up with seawater. And what do you think?
You say fills herself,
yeah.
Like not the layer between the shell and her, but like actually inside she's sort of filling with seawater, like bloating.
Yeah. She's purposefully bloating herself with seawater. Why do you think that's happening?
To push the shell off?
Yeah, basically.
To crack it open,
to create cracks to open it up.
Spooky.
And generally, and I would say always for a successful molt, the crab has a crack near their back, like where all their legs meet behind them. That's where that crack is going to happen, because once that crack is formed, the crab kind of opens their old shell like a lid and backs out of their old shell There's
plenty of YouTube videos of this and crystallization that are very cool.
Yeah. So she pulls all of her legs out and then pulls her body out.
Cool.
And it's just incredible. It really is incredible. Everything is new when a crab molts. So
the whole world is new.
Well, okay. But I mean like their body parts. Oh, I see. Like even their eye stalks have molted. Their antenna have molted.
Oh, yeah.
Their little That's mouth crazy. Parts, their gills. It's all molted.
Whoa.
And something incredible that molting does is allow the crab to kind of start anew. It's like moving to a different town.
Now.
Yeah. I'm known as Daryl in Mississippi, but Eric in Minneapolis is what a crab could say.
Is what it could say.
Because what kinds of things might a crab not want on their shell, Camden?
Oh, Barneys.
Yeah. Barnacles. If they get a new shell, they don't have those old barnacles on them.
Yeah. Tattoos that they regret.
Yeah. Regretful tattoos. There could be anemones. There could be like.
Oh, yeah.
Chitons. Just different things. That can all be shed. And then the incredible thing is that crabs can grow their legs back when they molt.
So if they lost a leg in that previous
life.
When they molt, they get a new one back?
Yes. Because, and this is not it's necessarily scientific language, but their body kind of remembers there is a leg here. There should be a leg here. Yeah. I will grow a new leg. And it doesn't happen over just one molt. It might take up to three molts. Oh,
but it gets longer.
But it gets longer every single time, which is incredible. It really is. Like if it became trapped and, you know, they lost it that way, or if a predator pulled off one of their legs, they can get a new one.
That's wild.
It's so, that is a superpower.
Yeah.
That's a superpower.
I can't do that.
No. So once the crab has separated from her shell, she's backed up out of it.
Yep.
She now has a soft shell. It's brand new and it is, again, very thin.
So there is a shell, but it's very soft and thin.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if I am a little crab with no real shell, I'm wiggling my fingers.
Four of, or eight of them.
Yeah. Wiggling my little fingies. If I'm a little crab and my shell's all soft, do I want to go roaming about in the open ocean?
No.
Why not?
You get smushed or eaten.
Eaten, mostly. Yes, I am super vulnerable to predators. So the crab is going to go hide somewhere.
Bye.
And wait for her shell to harden up again.
Using harden.
Yes, the power.
Yeah.
The power,
The power of harden.
The power of the action, fighting move.
Yeah.
Harden, yes. And it will get harder and harder, of course, over time. But after about a month, it should be really hard, like where the old shell was when they left it.
Spooky.
So they want to go hide during that time. So a soft shell crab that you might see on a menu is a crab.
A little vulnerable crab.
That just molted and has not had time for its shell to harden up again. So any type of crab can be a soft shell crab. I mean, I think we eat, what is it, blue crab? I think that's the most common one. It could be any crab. Every crab has could a soft shell phase.
So if something says, this is soft shell crab, you should treat that
should still be like, okay, what kind? Yeah.
It's like being like, today's menu item has an eight-legged crab or a 10-legged crab.
What kind of crab is that? Yes. So the, I guess, benefits, and I say that with huge air quotes, of soft shell crab is you can eat the whole thing. You can eat the entire crab, which, you know, when you eat a crab at like a crab boil, you have to get the meat out of it.
Right.
But with a soft shell crab, you can eat the whole thing. Although most of the time the gills and the mouth parts are removed.
Because people don't want them.
I guess so. So the idea of eating a crab that was caught in its most vulnerable state really bummed me out when I learned about it, which was
not
just
much different than when we all learned what veal is.
No. And so that was one of many steps on my journey towards becoming a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Cause it bummed me out real bad that they were just trying to hide and get back to their strong
that people are waiting for them to be as vulnerable as possible.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that is a softshell crab, which is related tangentially to a soft and hard chrysalis or cocoon, because the chrysalis or cocoon starts out soft and then hardens up over time.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think some of that too is it is hardening as it puts more silk down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So there you go. Soft shell crab.
Cool.
Thank you. So now, Camden, it's time to rate this Pokemon out of 10 Pokeballs for realism. You want to go first?
I don't remember how we usually do that.
Oh, let's do this. Let's do this. Think about your score so that we don't influence each other.
Okay.
Think about your score out of 10. 10 mm-hmm. being, I've seen this animal in real life.
Yeah, this is just an animal.
And 0 is this animal, this Pokemon could not exist on Earth in any way at all. All right. Do you have your number?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
0 to 10?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1, 7.
2.
7?
Except for the eyes.
That's the biggest part.
You gave it -8 for eyes?
Yes.
But
of
every other part, the liquid, Margaret, the liquid that has liquid, ladies and gentlemen, pull over the side of the road if you are.
No, don't. No, keep driving.
This is important.
You have somewhere to be. Go ahead.
# caterpillar soup, Margaret. It said on there that it has liquid innards.
I agree with that.
Call in your shot.
I see that, and I appreciate that realism. But all of that to me is negated by the idea that this Pokemon is founded on that a chrysalis or a cocoon actually has eyes and is itself a creature.
Look at these. I pulled up in some...
Yeah, these are very realistic.
Look.
Wow. Yeah, that kind of looks just like it.
Yeah. I pulled up in some green...
Wow. I still...
chrysalis.
I stand by what I said.
A 2?
A chrysalis or a cocoon, you wouldn't go, what kind of animal is that? A chrysalis. You'd say, okay, no, but what... whose cocoon is that? Because a cocoon or a chrysalis by itself is not going to be fighting. It's not going to be doing anything. It cannot see. It does not have eyes.
It doesn't fight, Margaret. It hardens.
I don't. The
audacity you have to say that this is a 2.
Yes.
Didn't we give Bulbasaur a 1.5?
Yep.
This is 0.5 more realistic in nature than Bulbasaur.
Uh-huh. Also, my ratings are not comparative.
Dinosaur. How? You don't have precedent?
No, I'm not changing, Kevin.
Oh, you're not backing down.
I'm not backing
this
down.
This is ridiculous.
No, I am excited to see what people say.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Pull over to the side of the road, everyone, and search rainforest green chrysalis.
Go with me on this journey, okay, Camden?
Okay.
Okay. So say...
Should I close my eyes?
Sure. Say that you... There's a Pokemon, okay?
Sure.
Say that there's a Pokemon that looks exactly... I don't even say there's a Pokemon. Say someone's like, oh my gosh, I saw this creature. It had 4 legs. It was about... Its shoulders were about where my shoulders were. It was covered in hair and had this long, beautiful tail. It had a flowing mane. It had 2 ears. It had a long face. It had 2 eyes. And it looked exactly like a horse. Exactly like a horse. Except that it could also talk and drive a car. Is that realistic?
It doesn't mention... It uses its eyes for sight.
What? Then look, why give it eyes?
There are eye camouflage on chrysalis.
No.
You see dark spots on chrysalis that they use for camouflage.
I would give it to you, but I've seen Caterpie, and that is those eyes and those markings are extremely realistic.
Sure. This, to give it.
A 2.
I could hear,
too. I'm not backing down. I'm
this
excited
might
to think.
Ladies and gentlemen, this might be the end of this podcast. Good. I can't with you. A two.
Okay, close your eyes one more time.
No, I'm not closing my eyes. Okay. All right. So you can support our show and other shows like Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions and the former podcast known as Gotta Classify Them All by going to patreon.com/don't pee on your leg and support us and earn access to all of our previous and never again bonus content. this is our podcast. It is produced every other week. Public podcasts are once a month. Those are the odd episodes. But next week, you get a very tasty, special, fun-loving interview because we already booked it. Because, again, this is a podcast that's for never again, where you will have episode 12 with Butterfree and what is left of Margaret and I's
relationship.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. You can find more content from us on our social media pages on Instagram at Don't Pee on Your Leg.
Twitter at Don't Pee, just the letter P on your leg.
And on Facebook at facebook.com/don't pee on your leg.
Gotta Classify Them All is a podcast produced by two birds, one scone. All articles and blog posts, I don't want to say some of them, about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at www.twobirdsonescone.org.
Original music by Riley Taylor and Camillo.
And if you have emails that you would like to send to us with questions or just trying to keep the band together, you can email us at gottaclassify@gmail.com.
Gottaclassify@gmail.com. Have a great week.